Yeah, yeah.
There's gotta be a place out there for Margaret's party.
Well, well, well. Look at these slackers. Not you, Eileen. I don't know if you're a slacker.
Look, Benson, we're planning something really important.
Wow. Sounds real important.
Yeah, so if we can postpone it...
So you don't want the special assignment?
Right.
You don't want to board up the old ballroom.
Exact
ballroom?
Yep, the Parkside Lux. This ballroom used to host the most elegant balls in its day.
Whoa, were they big?
These balls were huge.
Ow! Yep. Welcome back, finally, to the Excellent Podcast. This is the show where we watch every single episode of regular show and give you a breakdown. I am your host, Josh, and with me, as always...
is your other co-host, Jason. And yes, finally, we are back because this is the first episode that we are recording after I got back from my vacation.
Honestly, yeah. It didn't feel like 2 weeks has gone by since.
Yeah, true. I don't know. Like, it feels like that I've been away for a while, like, in the sense of today is my first in-person day at work, so that felt different. But you know, like I feel like I'm adjusting like pretty well, because this was one of the longest trips I've taken in a long time.
I mean, besides like your post-college Europe trip, but I wouldn't really consider that like getting off of work and then having vacation, because I feel how long do you think someone who works, how long do you think a vacation should be, at least?
Well, in my case, I had a whole bunch of PTO that I needed to use before it expired. But I feel like for someone in a full-time job, usually they go away for like 3, 4 to 5-ish business days. Usually when people go away, they like try to go away during the weekend so they could save on PTO there.
Yeah.
But for me, I was gone all the way from, I left March 19th and I came back March 28th. It was pretty nice. The first half was Orlando, Florida, and then the second half was Jamaica. I would talk about the entire trip today, but that's going to be pretty long. So what we're going to do is I'm going to talk about Florida today, and then in the next episode, you guys will be hearing about Jamaica.
Yeah, how long did you actually stay in Florida? Because I feel like it was, because you were gone for 2 weeks, it was more like was it at 7 days at Orlando and then 7 days in Jamaica?
It was almost 7 days. So we flew out of Chicago on the 18th, and then I flew out of Orlando to Jamaica on the 24th.
Mm.
So 19 to 24.
Okay.
Yeah. CJ had a conference out in Orlando for school. So it was me, her, and then three of her friends slash cohort classmates that she goes to school with. And yeah, we had a lot of fun. We the first day we went to Magic Kingdom as a group, and then Epcot, and then on the third day it was just me and CJ at Universal Studios.
Did you go on like all the rides?
Yes, I have a list of all of the rides that we went on. I'm gonna pull it up right now. So for Magic Kingdom, the first one we went on was the Tron Light Cycle.
Ooh, how's that?
Now that was probably one of the best rides of the day. So for all you fellow Disney adults out there, you'll know that Tron Light Cycle, it's like one of the newest rides there. And in order to gain access to it, you don't just like walk up there and get in line like every other ride. You actually have to download the app and hop on the virtual queue. And it's kind of like this thing where the queue opening gets opened up at 7 a.m.
Jesus.
So that means that everyone who wants to go on that ride will have the app open, and they're just hovering over the refresh button at like 6:59. And then as soon as 7 a.m. comes, you just like quickly hit the button. It's kind of like getting tickets for the Eras Tour or something like that. So I was actually able to get the my group for the Tron Light Cycle. We were group number 6 of the day.
How many do you think was in, or how many do you think actually went in? Because you said you were group 6.
Yeah, well, all of the YouTube tutorials that I had followed, they were saying like, oh yeah, I woke up like super early and I was able to snag group 34. And I was like, dang, for me to get group 6, that's pretty good. Yeah, that ride is really cool. You actually go on it like as if you're riding a motorcycle or a mm-hmm. light cycle, where you're like leaned forward and like your back is tilted and stuff like that. And it's super fast, super fun. We also went on It's a Small World, Magic Carpets of Aladdin, the Barnstormer, which is a goofy ride, I think.
Hmm.
We went on Big Thunder Mountain. That's a classic. Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin. I went on Haunted Mansion for the first time since getting my Haunted Mansion tattoo, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Had to revisit. Mm-hmm. We watched Mickey's PhilharMagic as well as the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. We almost weren't able to go on Pirates of the Caribbean because they were closed for most of the day. But then we were checking the app, and Pirates of the Caribbean opened up, and it was only a 5-minute wait, and we were on the opposite side of the park, so we like hauled our asses all the way back over there to ride it, and I think we only had like a 10-minute wait, and by the time we were leaving the ride, it was a 70-minute wait, so we lucked out. Mm-hmm. And then we did Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Now that was one that we knew that we wanted to go on. We did Space Mountain twice in Tomorrowland.
Ooh,
that's a fun one. And we drove cars at Tomorrowland Speedway and then did Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress. Oh, and then we ended the night with watching the fireworks. It was amazing.
That sounded like a really fun day.
Yeah, it was a great moment just like to spend me and CJ together. We revisited the Tangled Village, which is where I asked her to prom 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and you know, just watching parades, taking pictures with like the castle and everything. It was very fun. Have you ever been to Disney?
I've never been to Disney or Universal. Like, I've not gone to any of those.
Ooh, I could see you really enjoying Universal, and I'm going to get to that one later.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day was Epcot. There's not many rides in Epcot. Mm-hmm. As there are like the other parks, Epcot is more of like a foot experience where you like see everything around you.
Yeah.
So Epcot, if you don't know, it has a bunch of different like country pavilions where I'm going to look it up right now because I can't remember off the top of my head. So there is a Chinese pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
There is an American pavilion. There's a pavilion for Morocco, Japan, Mexico, France, Italy, Norway, Germany, Canada, United Kingdom, and I think that's all of them. So when you walk through the park, you're basically like traveling around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people who are of age, there's a thing that people do at Epcot. It's called drinking around the world.
Is there bars, like, or not bars, but like pubs around every kind of corner of Epcot?
Pubs in the sense of there's a place to get alcohol in every single country.
Yeah.
And
ooh, that sounds fun.
It really was fun. I will say Epcot is, I always loved Epcot as a kid, mm-hmm. but Epcot was 100 times more fun as like a person of age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was able to do more. I was able to do stuff in Epcot that I wasn't able to do before. For example, I had a spiked Dole Whip.
Ooh.
I think that was from Canada. So a Dole Whip is like a famous like treat that you have at Disney. It's basically like a pineapple float. It's like vanilla or pineapple ice cream with pineapple juice topped with pineapple spears in it. And mine had this really good like mango cream liqueur in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good. And then over in France, I had this French champagne that I saw online. And that was a really good one. You like champagne, don't you?
I haven't had champagne ever since I turned 21. And I think I tried a few years ago or a couple years ago, and I had kind of a distaste for it. But then again, I haven't had it in a while, so I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that all depends on the champagne that you're drinking.
Yeah, I can't remember what the brand I had was called, though.
Right. This was all, like, authentic drinks that I was having. Like, another cool thing about Epcot is every single worker in there
mm-hmm.
is from that country. So I was the people who were serving me in French were actually from there, as well as Germany and the UK mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Going down my list, I also had some really good beer from Germany.
I feel like Germany has some good beers.
That's what they're known for. I asked the person behind the counter, what is the most authentic German beer that you have here? And I had it. It was so good. Next, I went to China, and I had this, it was like a green tea beer.
Ooh.
It was like herbal, too, and it was only $5, so I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to try that. And then I wanted to drink around like every single country, but that was going to be a lot. So I think I stuck with that much. I do want to try more drinks when I go there next time. And then also I got me and CJ sat down at one of the Italian restaurants, and we had a full on like Italian dinner, and that was good.
Mm-hmm. That sounds cool.
Mm-hmm. And we also went on, as for the rides, Spaceship Earth, Living with the Land, Soarin',
mm-hmm.
Journey into Imagination with Figment, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, which is one of the newest rides in Epcot, and that was super fun. So
is it just like you being Remy running around the kitchen?
Yeah, so basically you take on the role of not Remy exactly, but another, like one of his rat friends,
mm-hmm.
and you begin the ride by like going through this thing which like shrinks you down to rat size.
Yeah.
And then you look all around you, and it's a ride where you're being chased around the kitchen, being chased around like the streets of Paris and stuff like that. And then it's actually really cool. Like, you actually feel rat sized. We went on Frozen Ever After. We went on Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros with Donald Duck. We did Test Track as well as Mission Space.
Yeah, all these sound pretty fun. I wish I would go sometimes.
So that was our last day in Disney. And then the next day, me and CJ went to Universal Studios. Ooh. And did you ever watch The Simpsons, Josh?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So I had never watched The Simpsons, and that always surprised me. My mom never really let me watch it as a kid.
Uh-huh.
So but I always like kind of was inclined to it. I was kind of like neutral about it. I didn't need to, but so in Universal they actually have a real life Springfield down there.
Huh.
And I got to eat a Krusty burger. I got to go on some Simpsons rides, and I also tried Duff beer.
You ever seen the Game Theory video of where the Simpsons actually take place?
No, I haven't. Do you know the answer?
It's a weird one, because there's an episode in the show where apparently Springfield is connected to like four different states, but they are all so far apart from each other that it doesn't actually make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really a definitive answer. I mean, you would think it takes place in Illinois, but no.
I know that Matt Groening, I think that's how you pronounce it, Groening. He chose Springfield because Springfield, I guess, is a very common name for a city or a town in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to make The Simpsons sort of like timeless, or it could happen anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So, of course, as someone who lives in Illinois, I'd like to think, oh, it totally happens in Springfield, Illinois. But I actually saw a fun facts about The Simpsons. I believe that the showrunners have said before that if there was a town that it would take place in, it is, I think it's Springfield in Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Because I believe that's where Matt Groening is from. And all of the streets in Springfield, Oregon, are names of characters. Like, apparently there's, like, a Flanders Avenue and things like that.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Burns Way. Yeah, so, the food was really good. The Duff beer was awesome. I actually got a Duff baseball cap, and it has like a built-in bottle opener on the little like bill of the hat.
Oh.
That's really fun. But I tried to Google what brand is Duff beer, because I'd assumed that it was just like a real brand out there, but they just call it Duff.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, Universal Studios brews their own Duff beer. And it's like specific to them, so you can't get it anywhere else.
I've never had it, but I feel like if I did, it would sort of taste similar to, maybe a Coors, maybe a Miller's.
Nah, it's had way more taste than a Coors, definitely.
They
had two beers on tap. There was Duff Draft beer and then Duff light beer. The draft beer is lager, and then the light beer is pilsner. So I tried out the pilsner.
Hmm.
And yeah, I highly recommend it. Other than that, we went to Despicable Me Land. We rode some of the rides there. There was also a Fast and Furious ride. We went on Revenge of the Mummy. I'm not sure what movie that's based off of, but it was one of the best rides.
Is it? Oh my god! Is it? Oh my god! I'm like, it was with Brandon Fraser. I forgot what it was.
Gosh, I don't know.
That could have been a mummy. Oh, no, I gotta look it up. Hold on.
While you're looking that up, if you've ever been to Universal Orlando, you'll know that some of the rides, they actually make you leave your stuff in lockers because you can't bring your bag on the ride.
Yeah.
Which it's a pretty good system. Oh. And it's free lockers as well. So me and CJ put all of our stuff inside of the lockers. And I was vlogging the entire trip, which, by the way, you guys are going to be seeing those videos soon on my personal YouTube channel. But I wanted to create this cool thing where I leave the audience in the locker. So I had my camera recording and I put it inside the locker and then I closed the door to make it like go to black.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to cut until like at when we were like done with the ride to make it be like a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
How about I accidentally lock my camera inside of the locker and I can't open it up.
Oh no.
Because it runs on like an electronic system where you scan your tickets, your park QR code.
Yeah.
And accidentally locked it for the next person to use, so I had to go get a worker to open it for me, and the camera is like recording inside the entire time, and I ended up with like a 3-4 minute video of just black. It'll probably make for a funny segment in the video though, so
that's what I was about to say. Like, you have to keep that section in.
Yeah, it's like a little behind the scenes thing.
By the way, the mummy ride you were talking about,
okay,
pretty sure it's just called The Mummy, and then it had a sequel called The Mummy Returns.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've not seen it.
Neither have I.
And then another place that we went to at Universal was Harry Potter World, and I know that you've not seen Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm somewhat I'm like half cultured, half uncultured.
So the last time me and CJ were at Universal, the same trip where I asked her to prom, she had never seen Harry Potter before.
Mm-hmm.
So she was able to like enjoy it, but she wasn't able to like take it in all the way. This time around, she has seen Harry Potter, and naturally she enjoyed Universal like 10 times more because she was able to relate to the stuff she was seeing, you know?
Did she, I'm assuming she watched all the Harry Potters. Did she ever watch like the Fantastical Beasts franchise, like the I think 3 movies they came out with?
I believe we watched the first 2 together, but we haven't seen the 3rd one, or maybe we did, I don't know.
I mean, because I've been saying I've been wanting to watch it, but just never had the chance to.
Yeah, but HBO, it's really good.
I thought it usually like goes away from HBO unless it's one of those movies that never do. Or never does.
I have no idea. But even if you haven't been a Harry Potter fan before and you find yourself in Universal, one thing you do need to try is the Butterbeer.
Yeah, I heard a lot about that.
We got Butterbeer again, and it's so good. Butterbeer is actually one of our favorite things to make at home because we know the recipe.
I was going to say, like, I'm pretty sure you've made, or you told me or told other people that you've made Butterbeer homemade before.
Yep, it's vanilla ice cream with cream soda. It's almost like a root beer float. And then whipped cream at the top with a butterscotch drizzle.
That does sound good.
It is very good. And then I also, we went to the Leaky Cauldron, which is a place from Harry Potter. And I had a beer. It was called the Wizard's Brew. And it was like a dark stout beer. And that was really good. Tasted like chocolate.
Stout is... I remember, was it last Friday? Yeah, no, last Friday, me and Jacob went out, and we were in Naperville, you know, just drinking, doing our thing.
Nice.
Now I remember I had, like, a Guinness, and I haven't had one in such a long time. Yeah. And I forgot, like, it had, like, some stout on it. I'm just like, ooh, this actually tastes pretty good.
Yeah, I love stouts.
In my opinion, stout is somewhat underrated to some people.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then also one more cool thing from Harry Potter Land. So in 2018, there's this thing in Harry Potter called the Night Bus. It's a vehicle that Harry rides in the third movie. And then the driver, his name is Stan. And at Universal, there is actually like a character dressed up as Stan. It's like, and you could like take a picture with him standing next to the Night Bus. And in 2018, I took a picture with that character that was there. And then it's a very small world, because then when I went back for this trip, the same exact worker was there, like the same person.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, huh, do you think he's just always there? Like, there's nobody else, it's just him?
Well, actually, so the whole story is I had known that I took a picture with a worker there, and I like wanted to visit that place again. So I had the picture like pulled up, and then I'm looking, we're waiting in line. I'm looking at the guy and I'm like, is this the same dude? So I asked CJ, I was like, do you think that's him? And she's like, yeah, actually. And then I get closer and I was like, this is definitely him. So you're going to see it in the vlog too. I pull out the picture and then I show the guy our old picture. And I'm like, hey, is this you and I from like 6 years ago? And he's like, oh my gosh, it is. And he probably didn't remember me, but he was super happy and shocked to see that picture. And it was actually a cute moment.
I was going to say, like, do you really think most people would do exactly what you did?
I don't know. Well, it all came to chance, because we took another picture together. And then when we were saying bye, he said, see you in 6 years. And that was really cute. But the funny thing is that definitely happened by chance, because me and CJ came back to the Night Bus 5 minutes later, and there was already a new worker standing there that like swapped out with him.
Wow. Okay. That's actually kind of nuts.
Yeah. It happened for a reason.
Hmm.
And it's really cool.
I mean, maybe in 6 years when you go back to ask the question to CJ, then... he'll be there in between you guys when you guys when you ask.
If you want to see the two pictures from over the years of me and Stan, you could go onto our Twitter, which is at excellentpod, because I have already posted the two pictures. I actually tagged Universal Orlando in that picture, and they've responded to our Twitter account saying, oh, we love to see that some things never change. And so that was cool to get a mention from Universal, like, Resorts.
Yeah, that guy's getting a raise.
Yeah. You know, me and CJ were talking, and what if, like, we kind of made him think, like, wow, I've been working here for 6 years.
Yeah, that you probably did that, too. You just made him have, like, some existential crisis.
Yeah, and our first picture was before COVID, so a lot of things have changed, but good old Stan is still here.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it looked like he didn't change.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then after Universal, we just had one more day to chill in Orlando. So, you know, we just stayed at the hotel. We swam all day, and then we had a nice food at the Airbnb we're staying at. So, yeah, that was my first half of the trip. And then the next week was Jamaica. And if you want to hear about that trip, then stay tuned for the next episode on the Excellent Podcast. But as for right now, it's no vacation, but it's TGI Tuesday.
Do you remember the one time, Jacob went to go to Texas, I think, and then came back and hung out with you?
Yeah.
Afterwards? Like, didn't you guys hang out on a Tuesday?
I'm not sure what day it was. It definitely, I don't think it was a weekend, but maybe it was like a Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wasn't working the next day, so I was like, we could chill. We weren't able to go out to any places because they were all closed because it wasn't a weekend. But I think we just like went to, we just got drinks somewhere and then watched it over a movie at home.
Nice.
So, but yeah, I wanted to ask, when have you ever gone out on a Tuesday?
Don't think a Tuesday, but maybe a maybe not a Tuesday, but maybe like a Wednesday or Thursday.
I remember in England, the main club that I went to, it was called Club Chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Europeans, they party like 8 days out of the week. You know that?
Eight days.
Like, or they have like a drink with every single meal, you know, and they start drinking at like noon.
Yeah.
So the club that I went to, they had Wednesday night parties where the main demographic for that club was the local like uni students, the students at school. And then so every single like extracurricular like club or society, they would all go to that club on Wednesdays. And they would have a different theme night. Like, we all wore Irish colors for St. Patrick's Day. Other day, we had, like, costumes and things like superheroes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was always a thing. And then, as for Tuesdays, I think earlier on the podcast, I remember saying that my cousins were in town from California.
Yeah.
And then I remember right after we were done recording the podcast, we went out in the city. My sister and CJ were there, and we went pretty hard that night on a Tuesday.
Nice. Now, with all that out of the way, we're about to get into the episode. But first, let's go into regular chat.
Regular chat.
We're breaking down the show, so we'll open up the internet. We'll ask them what they know.
Hey, I never get to write in. That's what we'll see. It's a regular show on ChatGPT.
It's time for a regular chat. Sit down for a regular chat.
And stop. Welcome to Regular Chat. This is a pre-segment to the show where we say, hey, ChatGPT. What happens in the regular show episode, TGI Tuesday? In the regular show episode titled TGI Tuesday, Mordecai and Rigby accidentally send Skips back in time to when he was a teenager. Skips then relives a crucial moment from his past where he made a mistake that still haunts him. Mordecai and Rigby must figure out how to set things right and bring Skips back to the present. Along the way, they encounter various challenges and obstacles as they navigate the time-traveling adventure. Alright, we're going to channel that and see at the end if ChatGPT was accurate or inaccurate. Let's get on with the episode. So we begin today's episode at the coffee shop. The golf cart is parked outside, and then we see Mordecai and Rigby chilling, having their cups of coffee. Rigby says, so, TGIF, am I right? And Mordecai's like, dude, it's 10 a.m. Tuesday. And Rigby's like, oh, yeah, Tuesdays ain't good for nothing. And Margaret and Eileen walk up, and it looks like Margaret is like, she's like just starting her shift. And Rigby says, how about you, Margaret? Weekend plans? And then Margaret's all like, oh, my weekends are all booked up now. I'm using them to study. And we could see that she's wearing her school backpack. I have to get serious if I want to transfer out of junior college. And Mordecai's like, oh, when are we ever going to hang out? And Margaret's like, sorry, I don't know. Tonight's my last free night. But whoever heard of hanging out on a Tuesday? I should probably just study. See ya. And she walks away, and it's just Mordecai, Rigby, and Eileen. And Rigby, he kind of scoffs at this, being like, oh, school? Man, what is wrong with her? Why would you do that to yourself? And Eileen's all like, Rigby, she needs our support. And I could, like, semi-relate to Rigby, not in the fact where I'm, like shitting on any, like, student out there. Being a student is one of the hardest things you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Me, personally, I just wouldn't choose anything outside of, like, what I have right now. Like, I went for undergrad, and then after that, I'm done. A part of that has to do with because my career doesn't require any masters.
But yeah. I mean, you just need, like, the skill and knowledge to do what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm definitely not strong enough to be in a master's program because it's hard. It's hard.
I feel like with a lot of time and practice, I'm sure you could move up to somewhere else, but that's totally up to you, though.
Yeah, it's like, I respect anyone who's in a master's program, but I know personally I could never handle it, so.
Yeah. And again, that's all on a person.
Rigby says, well, you heard her, Eileen. She wants to transfer colleges. What if we never see her again? Never see her again.
Never see her again.
And then we get this weird echo because the thought of never seeing Margaret again kind of gets to Mordecai, and he starts to freak out with like a big camera close-up. And then Rigby and Eileen kind of like snap Mordecai to attention, be like, yo, Mordecai, you all right? Then Mordecai says, guys, it's Margaret's last night of freedom. Let's surprise her with the biggest party of her life. And then Rigby's all like, dude, yeah, that's a great idea. And Mordecai says, whoa, first one for the episode. TGI Tuesday, they all start to yell. And then we cut to Margaret on the other side of the coffee shop. She looks around being all like, huh? What was that? But then they all like kind of like huddle up all quietly being all like, all right, she gets off work at 8 o'clock tonight. So we only have a few hours. First, let's get supplies. And then they all chant quieter, TGI Tuesday.
So we cut to a party store. It's called Party Central USA, in quotes, your Party Central in the USA, which I just realized might be a reference to Miley Cyrus's song Party in the USA.
I just realized that too.
Yeah, I honestly, these signs are could be used for Easter eggs. And on the bottom corner, we see that time does go by. So at the start, when we're at the party store, it's 11 a.m. And underneath that, it's 9 hours left, indicating that the group has 9 hours left until the party. So we go inside and Mordecai, Rigby, and Eileen are going through the party day aisle. Mordecai is looking through. He's saying, all right, they've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Wow, even Monday. And then we get to the end of the aisle where Tuesday is empty and it's just crossed off. And Mordecai says, like, oh, what? Nothing for Tuesday? And then all of a sudden, Muscle Man comes around the corner and he says, hey, ladies. And Eileen. They all question what Muscle Man is doing there. And he explains that he likes to hang around there on his days off because he always knows where the party's at. And then he turns around to a worker named Jesse, and he asks, yo, Jesse, where's the party at? Then Jesse responds with, for the 100th time, I just work here.
Real quick, have you ever had those moments with the customer where you just kind of got to be like, I only work here, please?
All the time.
What are some of your experiences?
There's some times where I just have to go up front and just, you know, give out the food to people. And then someone would ask me like, hey, can I get a refund, or can I get this remade? And I'm just like, listen, I don't know how to do any of that. I can do that for you, but in terms of just like making sure you get a refund or anything, that's not on me. That's not what I can do. Someone else can, but I can't.
Yeah, you're not a cashier. You're like in the back. You call yourselves the kitchen boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're the one in the back. You're not the one manning the cash register. So it's like you have to be like, I could refer you to the person who can, but I'm not going to be the one to do it.
Exactly. I just work here most of the time. Like I don't have that position where it's my responsibility.
Yeah, I've definitely had moments at my old job where customers get mad at me. They start saying some stuff, being like, you guys need a sign of that says this, this, and that. And I'm like, and you know, you just kind of have to be polite. You just got to nod your head and thank them for the insight and that you'll refer their message to the manager. But you ain't going to do that. Like, I already forgot what you said. So
I forgot what you said, and I don't really care. It's not my problem.
Yeah. Like, I had moms getting mad at me because the outside was foggy and you couldn't see anything out of the building. Before you go up the elevator, we warn you. This is at the skyscraper, by the way. Before you come up the elevator, we warn you guys. Be like, hey, just to let you know, it is zero visibility. You cannot see a thing up there. So you could either get a refund now, or you could reschedule your ticket for another day and come back. And then, of course, some people are like, eh, we'll still go up. You could probably see like a little, but it's like, no. It's literally just white. You cannot see a thing. And then, you know, they complain to me being like, I thought like I'd at least be able to see something. I was like, dude, we literally tell you, we were not bluffing. And then, but because they already came up the elevator, we cannot give you a refund anymore.
How much would it be to go back up there, even though you don't work there anymore?
Well, actually, so you know how I used to get like friends and families up there for free?
Yeah.
They stopped doing that right when I stopped working there.
Damn.
At first, I thought it was because of me, because there was one week where I brought like three separate groups up there.
Oh, God.
3 days in a row. But actually, what happened is, there was a worker who was stealing money from the cash register.
Oh.
So what he would do is, so that company, they only accept card as payment. We don't accept any cash.
Yeah.
But every now and then there would be a customer that like only carried cash and like, oh no, what do I do? Every now and then, like, I never liked doing this because it had to do with my card. Some mm-hmm. workers would take the customer's money and put it in the cash register and then just pay with their own card to make it easy.
All right.
Which makes sense, but, like, I never did it. So mm-hmm. what this guy did is, so he charged them $0, but then didn't tell them that they were being charged $0, but still made them pay, in which he kept that money, but then pocket the cash.
Damn, that's...
And then...
Ew.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then at the end of the month or quarter or something like that, the managers were going over, like, the earnings, and they saw, like, a huge gap in the system, and they were like, what the heck is going on? So then they checked the profiles, because whenever you work the cash register, you had to, like, log in with your account. And they do that to keep track of things like this, and they saw that all of these gaps were happening when that guy was working. Mm-hmm. So they confronted him, and yep, he was caught. And not only was he banned from the company, but he was banned from the John Hancock Center for life.
I mean, that makes sense.
Because there was theft. You know, they really could have filed a police report with him, but they ended up just handling it right there.
Uh-huh.
Just crazy. And it sucked because we all loved that guy. He was super chill. But yeah, he ended up being someone different.
I'm looking at the... I'm looking at the ticket prices right now because next week, actually, Jen and her friends are coming over, and I'm kind of thinking about, like, maybe they would enjoy doing this.
Next week, like, on the 13th? Like, the weekend of the 13th?
So, they arrive on the 12th, and I think they're leaving on the 15th.
Okay, because, dude, I was actually going to ask you, CJ's out of town that weekend.
Oh, what?
Did you want to maybe do something in the city?
We can try. We can talk about it later after this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it'll be fun since Jen and friends will be in town and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they continue to talk to Muscle Man. Muscle Man's all like, what are you lamers doing here? And then Eileen says, we're setting up a party for Margaret tonight. And Mitch is all like, but it's Tuesday. And starts to slurp his drink. Rigby says, yeah, yeah, after tonight, Tuesday's gonna be the new Friday. And this makes Muscle Man do a spit take. And he's like, whoa, that's bold, bro. This party gets the Muscle Man seal of approval. You chumps need help with anything? I bet you chumps do. And Mordecai says, like, can you make sure people hear about it? We need a huge turnout. And Muscle Man says, huge is my and my mom's middle name. I'll see you jerks tonight. Hooah! Muscle Man, huge Sorenstein out, and then he like throws down his drink and like runs away, being like, "Woo!" Eileen says, "Okay, great. Now we just need a venue." Mordecai says, "We'll check all the coolest clubs in town. There's no way they're booked on a Tuesday night." But we go through like this small little montage. It's 12 p.m. at this point, 8 hours left. First, we go to this place called No Club Club. And they're talking to a bouncer with the clipboard, and he's like, oh, sorry, fellas, but this space is reserved for shuffleboard on Tuesdays. And then the next club is called I Hate Fun. I never actually read that out loud, because it's spelled like I-H-8, like number 8, P-H-U-N, reading I Hate Fun. The bouncer says, sorry, this is Women's Bridge Night. I don't know what the heck that is. And then they actually stop by Box from Access Denied. And that freaking bouncer with the mustache and suspenders is still there. And he says, you guys understand that permanently banned applies to Tuesdays too, right? And then we cut to the Worst Club. It's literally called the Worst Club. And there's like this hillbilly bouncer guy. He says, no, ain't nobody in this town gonna hold a party on Tuesday. You hear me? Nobody! Rah! And then he starts to chase them down the sidewalk. It's super weird. And then we cut to the next scene.
So the group are eating tacos on the side of the curb. It's 2 p.m. with 6 hours left. And I think that's one of the same taco trucks we've seen in a previous episode. I don't remember specifically? Yep,
I wrote down that it was the taco truck from various episodes, but most notably my mom.
Yeah. So, Eileen starts the conversation saying, "These burritos taste like failure." And Mordecai tells her, like, "Well, you know what I think? I think they taste like hope. There's got to be a place out there for Margaret's party." And then all of a sudden, Benson pulls up in front of him in a golf cart saying, "Well, well, well, look at these slackers." Not you, Eileen. I don't know if you're a slacker. Mordecai kind of stops Benson because he knows that he's probably going to scold them for something. And he says, "Look, Benson, we're planning something really important." Benson is being all sarcastic, saying like, "Oh, wow, really? Something important?" And Mordecai responds with, "Yeah, so if we can postpone it," but gets cut off by Benson, saying, "So you don't want the special assignment?" Rigby kind of adds on, saying, "Right." Benson is continuing on with the whole special assignment and says, "Oh, so you don't want to board up the old ballroom?" And out of instinct, Mordecai says, "Yeah," but then he clocks what Benson just said, and all three of them say at the exact same time, saying, "Ballroom?" So then we clock wipe to the Parkside Lux, which is inside the park. And Benson explains, saying, "Yep, the Parkside Lux. This ballroom used to hold all the most elegant balls in its day." Rigby asks, like, or says, "Whoa, were they big?" And Benson says, like, "Oh, they were huge.
Oh, they were huge."
Clearly a dirty adult joke made by the creators.
So every single adult joke compilation on YouTube will have this moment without a doubt.
I remember this scene and I thought it was the... I honestly didn't think about it too much, but upon rewatching it, I'm just like, how did this get approved?
Yeah, this is like one of the biggest adult jokes in the show. This is actually the censored version.
Really?
And we're gonna go, we're gonna go over the other version in lunchtime. But we go inside. Mordecai punches Rigby for the joke, and then we go inside of the ballroom, and there's a little animation error. It looks like at 3:16, Mordecai is a little bit too tall for that doorway. And he's not supposed to be that tall. But we could see that inside of the ballroom is completely torn up. It's like not a wasteland. But Benson explains that, yep, the last guest trashed this place pretty bad, as you could see. Nearly bankrupted the park. And then we walk inside and the disco ball is still hanging there, all still. The DJ equipment is, like, all on the floor. There's, like, confetti, like, old confetti everywhere. And then there's old party decorations. Most notably, this huge sign as a centerpiece that says, "Good luck, Charlene." And Mordecai looks at it all ominously, being like, "Oh, I wonder who Charlene was." And then Rigby, he says, "Hey, Eileen, check this out." And it's, like, a cone-shaped bra. And then they'll both like kind of laugh at it. Benson says, "This place is impossible to clean. Believe me, I've tried. That's why it needs to be boarded up." Mordecai says, "But Benson, this place is perfect for Margaret's party. Can we please use it?" And Benson says, "Well, if you could clean it." And they're all like, "Oh, awesome." Benson leaves. Benson starts to walk outside and he's all like, "Yep, good luck. You're gonna need it." We cut to the coffee shop. It is now 3:30 p.m. and there's 4.5 hours left. Margaret is still studying there, and then we hear her phone ring, and it's the "Hanging with Mog, just a few so good," and it's the ringtone from Butt Dial. There's a lot of episode connections in this one. There's like so many references.
Yeah.
But Margaret answers the phone and she says, "Hey, Mordecai," and then we kind of get like the split screen effect. Mordecai says, "Hey, Margaret, do you want to hang out tonight?" And immediately Margaret's like, "Yes! Yeah, sure, sounds cool." Because at this point, you could tell that she probably likes Mordecai. But she's trying to be all like hard to get about it, I guess.
I was saying like, all right, I wrote that in my notes. Is this a Margaret simp moment?
Well, and in just a second, we might see one, because Margaret's blushing all like cute and stuff. And Mordecai says like, oh, great. Meet me at the old ballroom at 8 o'clock tonight. And Margaret says, ooh, que interesante. And then you could see on her end, she kind of like face palms, being like, what did I just say? And then Mordecai is side eyeing. He's like, yep, you too. See ya. And then they hang up the phone, and then Margaret kind of like rests her body on the table, and she's like, oh, que interesante. Like, why would I say that? And the joke here is like talking to your crush. Like, that's how it is most of the time.
Yeah. So Mordecai gets off the phone with Margaret and runs over to Eileen and Rigby, who are unloading stuff from a back of a truck. And Mordecai says to them, I just told Margaret. And they're all updating each other about what's going on. Rigby and Eileen say, like, Muscle Man is inviting people. And Eileen has some doubts by saying, oh, I hope he doesn't invite just random people we don't know. And then we quick cut to Muscle Man and Fives holding out flyers. Muscle Man screaming out, hey, completely random strangers, come to this chick's party. And everybody is cheering as he's standing on top of a golf cart, throwing all the flyers in the air.
And it's like a whole crowd of people.
Oh, yeah. We see a lot of people. We see the J.G. Quintel characters standing almost below Muscle Man. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other people.
Oh, I think we see Eddie Munson from Bald Spot.
Oh, yeah.
Which, he was trying to kill Muscle Man in that episode, so I guess they made up.
Wasn't it his friend that, got his face almost, singed off from his pecs?
Yeah. It was...
So, we go inside where Mordecai, Eileen, and Rigby are all about to start clean up, and Mordecai says, alright, let's get this place cleaned up. And then Eileen questions if this place really can't be cleaned. Rigby kind of just does a little, mouth fart and says, oh, that's just reverse psychology. Classic Benson. Mordecai agrees, and that they'll just have this place clean up in no time. And they both give out the whoa, giving us a second whoa of the episode. Then we clock wipe to a montage with electronic music playing where all three of them are cleaning up the ballroom. First they get one corner of the place all cleaned and nice and tidy, but then suddenly the mess just comes right back into place. We see Rigby on top of a ladder taking down the sign that says, good luck, Charlene. Rigby celebrates for a little bit, gets down from the ladder. Then the sign magically goes back up. Next, we see that same corner from before. The three are a little bit... they question why it's not clean anymore, but they pay no attention to it. They clean it back up. They're a little exhausted, walk away from the area, but then the mess comes back. So we can see a little bit of a trend where every single mess they clean up, everything just comes right back into place, and it happens for a little bit and they all get really annoyed. But within the montage we see Margaret texting Mordecai saying, out in 30 minutes, can't wait, with a smiley face. The montage ends and Mordecai sees the text and he says, dude, we gotta hurry up, Margaret's almost here.
So yeah, the purpose of that montage is they're trying to clean this dang ballroom, but anything that they clean just comes right back, and that kind of is eating up their time because Margaret is literally like on her way almost, but it's impossible to like get clean. So yeah, it looks like Benson was right. Mordecai says, oh my gosh, we gotta clean this place up, Margaret's almost here. And then Rigby says like, look man, you're my bro, I'm happy to help my bro, but this place is crazy. It won't stay clean. It's messing with my head. And then we see the Good Luck Charlene banner, like, kind of fly across the screen. And Rigby's like, hey, that banner! And then he goes and chases after it and grabs it before it could, like, float its way back up. And he's grunting. He's like, I hate you, Charlene! But he's, like, being tugged by, like, his heels by it. All of a sudden, his tugging makes the banner rip in half. And then all of a sudden it starts to talk and it says enough. And then the doors close, it gets all dark, and then everything is like all the party trash and stuff is flying around. I actually just noticed at 5:26 you could see the cans of Radicola.
Ooh, yeah.
From Party Pete.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, so that's another episode connection. There's like so many of them in this one. Everyone's screaming and Rigby's like, what's going on? And then we hear like this evil laughing, and then there is like this big pool of like green in the middle of the dance floor, and emerging from it is three ghosts guys, and then they're all floating and they're dressed all like 80s like. The main guy says, evening fools. Mordecai's like, who are you? The guy says, I'm Johnny Emperor, and this is Cool Sade and my man Daryl. And he kind of like talks in a way where he's all like 80s, like, oh, and he puts random sound effects in his talking, you know, like that.
And I was saying, or I put in my notes, that Johnny Emperor kind of looks like Prince a little bit.
Actually, in the regular show fan wiki, Johnny Emperor is supposed to be a mix between Prince and MJ.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. So, Johnny Emperor explains, we are the guardians of this ballroom. Ahoo! And y'all are disturbing the sacred ground. Mordecai says, what? Rigby's like, dude, we're just trying to clean it. And then they all start laughing at them. And then, who is this? I think this is Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl says, huh, they don't get it, J.E. Johnny Emperor says, yeah, this is how we like it around here. You see, in 1985, we threw the best party ever, right here in this ballroom. A party so fresh, we decided to leave it in the state as a monument to our partying legacy. Ooh, oh yeah. And then they all start to, like, cheer. Mordecai says, oh, but we need to party here tonight. And Johnny's like, hoo-hoo, absolutely not. Who parties on a Tuesday anyway, man? No class. And Mordecai kind of steps forward and he's like, you guys don't understand. After tonight, we won't get to see our friend Margaret for a long time. It's really important to me. I mean, us. And Johnny says, oh, trying to set up the ultimate party for your girl. And Sade says, well, that's noble. Johnny says, very well. If you prove you could party harder than we did, which is impossible, you may use the ballroom. And then Mordecai, Rigby, and Eileen all go, hmm, hmm, hmm.
So they go into this dance battle, and Sade is holding a boombox. He sets it down on the floor, plays music, and then dance music starts playing. The dance floor starts lighting up a little bit. Johnny Emperor lets the three go first by saying, proceed. Rigby comes up first, and he says, it's go time. Mordecai and Eileen are hyping him up, saying like, yeah, Rigby, go Rigby. Rigby goes down, he's breaking it down, he's doing some like head spins, doing like some cabbage patch thing. Like, there's a lot of dance moves that they're doing, or that Rigby is doing, that I generally don't know because I don't dance.
I'm sure all these have a name, but we're just too 2000s to recognize them.
I mean, when Johnny Emperor, or actually no, when Sade steps up.
Wait, Sade.
Sade?
Sade, not Sharte.
Sharte.
That's something else. Hey, it's a Sharte day today.
So, what is it? One of the, I can't pronounce his name, but one of Johnny Emperor's friends goes up to the dance floor by leapfrogging over Johnny Emperor. He enters by doing like the hammer, I forgot what it's called, the hammer dance?
It's kind of like a sideways crab walk, but yeah, the hammer dance. You know, the little walk that you do.
Mm-hmm. So he does some moves, he turns into a C, he starts shuffling, shaking his leg, clapping, doing some, floor spins, and an ending with a powerful firework where it says his name right above him.
Cool Sade.
And then that side of the group starts hyping him up. He comes right back. Mordecai, Rigby, and Eileen are like, oh yeah, that was alright. Then it's Eileen's turn. She goes up. She's starting to do some ballet moves, which are actually really good.
Yeah, she's alright.
Yeah. And then Johnny Emperor kind of makes fun of it, saying, ha, I've seen better moves at a funeral. So Daryl steps up. Yeah, I only know Daryl. Daryl steps up, and he basically does the same moves as Cool Sade.
The same exact dance move.
Except when he does the floor spin and clears it with a pose, his name pops up over him. And then Rigby points over to Mordecai saying, like, dude, bust out your robot. Mordecai steps up to the dance floor saying, prepare to witness perfection. So Rigby and Eileen are hyping him up, and we see Mordecai do his version of the robot. It's decent.
Yeah.
And the ghost starts saying, sloppy, sloppy. They're all arguing over on their side. Now, finally, Johnny Emperor steps up by leapfrogging over Daryl, and yet again, he does the exact same moves as the previous two, but the only difference is that after his spin move, his name pops up above him.
You could even see Mordecai, Rigby, and Eileen, like, kind of squint forward, being like, wait, are you doing the same dance move? And, yeah.
Yeah, they were all paying attention, and they're like, wait a second. Mordecai points it out and says, like, hey, you guys are just doing the same moves over and over again. Johnny Emperor says, like, what? These moves are as fresh as the decade from whence they came. Yeah, and then Mordecai argues back, saying, your 80s moves blow, man. Johnny Emperor is offended by this, saying, this parting war just turned cold. And then he goes over to Daryl and Cool Sade and says, let's tear this hall. And then all of a sudden, the boombox starts glowing green. And then actual real-life music starts playing, which yes. I don't remember what it's called.
So the boombox starts playing after Sade, like, activates it. And we hear Ballroom Blitz by Sweet from 1974. And I actually love this song. I originally heard the song from Regular Show. And it has made its way to my playlist because it's really good.
Oh.
And then, basically, this is one of my favorite uses of songs because it is a huge dance battle. It's a free-for-all, so all six of them get on the dance floor, and then they're all just, like, dancing all around. It's, like, three-on-three, and Mordecai, Rigby, and Eileen are doing their respective dance moves, but then the ghosts are, like, dancing in unison, doing the same move over and over again. And then the music continues to play, and then we see Margaret being dismissed at work from her boss, getting in the car. There's only 15 minutes left till the party. Mordecai is breakdancing, the ghosts are still, like, pumping their elbows, and then we basically get, like, a cool little, like, visual for, like, a couple seconds where the art style is, like, all, like, over the place. We see the Regular Show background, we see, like, cool overlays and 80s effects. You'll just have to see the montage to, like, get the full effect. But Margaret pulls up to Parkside Lux Ballroom. She reads it, and then she's like, okay, I think I'm in the right place. But then she texts Mordecai. Mordecai is upside down because he's breakdancing in the moment. He pulls out his phone, and he's reading it. And then the screen, like, kind of flips 180 to read the phone. And it's from Margaret saying, hey, I'm outside Parkside Lux, right? And then Mordecai falls out of his dance move. He's like, ah, Margaret's outside, what do we do? And then the Emperor is, like, still laughing at them. He's like, huh, just as well, we schooling you pretty bad. Your moves don't got no 80s effects or hand claps or nothing. Prepare yourselves for the finishing moves. And then the three of them kind of, like, put their fists up, and then they kind of, like, pump it, and they're, like, going all side to side, and then they clap at them and sending a huge beam of light right towards them. Then they start to spin on the ground, making even more light, and Rigby says, ah, we're gonna die. And then we fade to white, And then all of a sudden, we see a huge display of light above the three. And it says, Charlene, good luck on your internship from Emperor Kulshade and Daryl. And then this kind of confuses them. Mordecai's like, huh? Charlene? And then that's when they realize, oh, the party that they were talking about was supposed to be a going away party for Charlene, about to leave for her internship, just like how they wanted to throw for Margaret. Mordecai says, like, oh, so no mortal has ever seen that, huh? And then Emperor says, huh, no way. And Mordecai is like, so not even Charlene? And then this kind of resonates with the Emperor. He looks down, he's all like, she was supposed to. This party was for her, but we partied so hard and so late, our bodies gave out before we could even show her. And then Daryl adds on saying, but that's why this ballroom's gotta stay this way, because she's coming back someday. And Mordecai says, like, dude, no, she's not coming back, because the party's gotta stop someday. My friend Margaret knows that, and if we can't use this ballroom tonight, we may never be able to party with her again. And then this kind of strikes a chord with the ghosts, and Emperor says, like, hey, Blue Man, this lady, she sounds pretty important to you. And Mordecai says, she is. And then Emperor goes on saying, then you gotta promise us something. Party with her tonight. And Mordecai says, I will. And honestly, this is giving me goosebumps, like, just, like, explaining it. Because it's kind of a sweet moment, you know?
It is. It's very, like, it's very touching how... Nah, we'll talk about it after. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah. And then Emperor says, like, oh, partying on a Tuesday. Whew, worthy. And then so the Emperor claps his hands, and then all of a sudden these, like, individual, like, tornadoes of light, like, go around the entire ballroom, and it cleans up the entire place in, like, 5 seconds. Kulshade goes up to the DJ booth, and he raises his arm up to make the DJ equipment appear magically. And then we could see Muscle Man is running up to the back door of the Parkside Lux with a huge crowd behind him. And then we pan over, and at the same exact time, Margaret walks in the door. She gasps, and then Mordecai, Rigby, and Eileen say, surprise! And right at that moment, Muscle Man's entire crowd comes in. And it's, like, very cute. This is, like, perfect timing.
Margaret walks up to the three and says, wow, this is amazing. And Mordecai says, all of these people came to wish you luck on your studies. Margaret thanks them for the party. And Eileen kind of nudges Mordecai, saying, like, oh, it was all Mordecai's idea. Rigby adds on, saying, like, yeah, he deserves all the credit, kind of teasing him. And then they walk off to the side, and Mordecai says, like, heh, well, yeah, you know, we won't be able to hang out for a while, so I just, So he starts getting a little bit awkward. And finally says, I just wanted to make it special, you know? Margaret says, that's sweet, but you don't need to worry. I'm not going anywhere. And Mordecai says, awesome. Then Muscle Man takes off his shirt and starts waving it around, saying, party! Everyone starts to cheer, and we get, like, a wide shot of everybody in the ballroom. We even get to see Thomas, Potts, Benson, and Skips there. I should also mention Fives is also with Muscle Man, but that's a given. Wherever Muscle Man goes, Fives is there.
Yeah.
So they're all cheering, getting the party started. Dance music is playing. We see everyone dancing around, but then all of a sudden, the music stops, and then slow tempo music starts playing, and we see Kulshade DJing and giving Mordecai, and looking at Mordecai. Mordecai looks over back to him, and Kulshade gives him, like, a thumbs up as Margaret kind of tucks in closer to Mordecai to slow dance with him. So we see everyone slow dancing to the music. Rigby is with Eileen, Mordecai and Margaret are in the center of it all. And with the same wide shot, we see Muscle Man talking to Daryl and Johnny Emperor, saying, oh man, we should have started partying on Tuesdays long ago. And then we pan up to the disco ball that's up there, that's up in the ceiling. The background fades to black while the disco ball stays in shot. As the music still plays, and then we cut to black, thus ending the episode.
Mm-hmm. Now that's a very good ending. It's very sweet.
It is very sweet.
So I wanted to point out a few things. At 9:32, that's when Johnny Emperor explains, being like, yeah, this party was for Charlene, but we partied so hard before she could even show up, and our bodies gave out, and she never saw it. That makes me think, so did they just, like, start partying before she even arrived to her own party? Like, what's that about, you know?
What I think is that they got so excited that they did start partying, but honestly, wouldn't she have gone to the party anyways if she had known that they were throwing it for her?
Yeah, because she would have had to know, like, even if it was a surprise party, she would have had to know to be there at a certain time.
Yeah.
So she would have found the place, and so she would have seen the decorations, but I don't know. And then also at 10:24, there's a small error, because that's when we get a shot of, like, Mordecai and Margaret and all, like, the filler characters. And mm-hmm. there are two of the JG Quintel guys here.
I guess they just ran. They have a set number, so they just had to get someone.
Yeah, but just a little, like, animation error, which is fine. But, this is kind of giving me the same vibe as, like, Access Denied, how it, like, Mordecai, like, does all this work to, like, party with Margaret, and things, like, go bad, but then it all gets resolved in the end, and they share, like, a sweet moment together, and that's what I like.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yes, so with that, we are going to cut to lunchtime.
Lunchtime! It's lunchtime.
All right, so we are going to be reading off of the fan wiki like we always do to start off lunchtime. So, TGI Tuesday, Season 4, Episode 10. This premiered on January 7th of 2013 in the US, and then it premiered on October 7th, 2013 in the UK. And then we have trivia. So this is the first appearance of the Parkside Luxe Ballroom, because it does come back in future episodes. Pop culture references. So we had, like, a whole bunch of different dance moves, like the robot from Mordecai was from Michael Jackson, and then we had, like, the hammer walk at the beginning. But specifically, the dancing scene for the dance battle may have been a reference to Wayne's World, as in both endings, Ballroom Blitz plays while the main characters wait for the arrival of an important person. In this case, it was Margaret.
Huh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then I think it was Daryl. He says, tear down this hall. And that might be a reference to Reagan's famous tear down this wall quote.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then as for production notes, there were multiple deleted scenes in this episode, actually. And the original version can be seen at this link. And it actually opens up a link to a website called Scribd. And you could actually see the original storyboards for this episode, which is really cool. We're going to link this on the Twitter, which is at ExcellentPod. Because it's cool that you get to actually see deleted scenes from here. So that's something new. And then also, this is the first regular show episode to air in 2013. Wow. So alternate versions, and they both have to do with the adult jokes. So in America, actually, the line saying these balls were huge.
These balls were huge.
It was changed to, oh, they were huge.
Oh, they were huge.
So the original line had him saying the word balls in it. And then in the UK, that scene was just cut altogether about the balls. And then we also mentioned before that the Emperor is supposed to be a mixture of Prince and MJ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The thing that gave the Prince vibe for me was the ascot.
Yeah, true.
So, in the Season 4, Episode 10, TGI Tuesdays, who was the protagonist of this episode?
Actually, I just realized we are recording this on a Tuesday, so...
Yeah, we are.
And The protagonist was Mordecai, and I put supporting characters are Rigby and Eileen.
Yeah. So then, who would you say the antagonist of the episode was?
I wrote that it was Daryl, Cool Sade, and primarily Johnny Emperor, but they turned good in the end.
Yeah, they were just, misunderstood villains?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I just realized Cool Sade is just Cool Shades, but it's pronounced differently.
Yeah, it's spelled out like shades, but it's pronounced Sade.
So, how many O's or hms did you find in this episode?
So, we had 2 O's and 2 hms.
We haven't had those in a while.
Yeah.
So, how many adult jokes did you see in this episode?
So, there was the obvious, these balls were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I feel like I could throw in the cone bra that Rigby found.
Yeah, it's that's like what mild. That's what I wrote down as well.
Yeah.
So, usually this doesn't come up in most episodes because it doesn't really happen, but were there any Mordecai simp moments?
So again, with the whole discussion of simp, I feel like in this episode, Mordecai, yes, he was bending over backwards, but it was actually for like something sweet.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't exactly like sucking up to Margaret. Like really all he wanted to do was just throw her a great goodbye party and doing something nice for a girl that he just so happens to like. So I don't think it was simpy.
Yeah. Were there any iconic regular show moments?
These balls were huge, as well as the final dance battle.
Sorry, when you said these balls are huge, it always gets me.
Yeah.
And we said this previously, but were there any licensed music used in this episode?
Mm-hmm. Ballroom Blitz by Sweet, 1974.
Good song. Really good song.
Yeah.
So then, on a scale of 1 to 5, how would you rate this episode on memory?
I gave it a 5.
I also gave it a 5. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Would you say it's a skip or a must-watch episode?
I gave it a must-watch, because not only is it just like a cool episode in general, but it also moves along the Mordecai and Mordecai and Margaret love arc.
Yeah, I agree. So, would you say, is it a good or a bad episode?
I wrote that it was good.
What?
I also said it was a good episode.
What?
Especially the end where, Johnny Emperor explains why he and the others kind of keep the ballroom a mess. It was tragic, and it was sad, but you know what? It's nice.
A lot of people get turned off by these love-centered episodes, which, I mean, like, I guess I kind of understand they turn on a regular show because they want to see, like, actual regular show elements.
Yeah.
But this episode had more than just the love. It still had, like, a cool fight and battle scene and the adult jokes in it, so it's good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. So in the end, for the entire series so far, we have 115 O's and 78 hms in total. And now that we've broken down the show, Josh, would you say that ChatGPT gave an accurate or inaccurate description? Was this episode about Mordecai and Rigby sending skips back in time and messing up the timeline?
No, ChatGPT was completely wrong.
You know, this description was probably the worst one so far, because... Yeah. Not only did it miss the mark for the episode completely, there was no time travel. Skips wasn't even, he didn't even have a speaking role in this episode.
Yeah.
But not only that, the description it had nothing to do with Tuesdays. It doesn't even say Tuesday once. Like,
no.
What part of TGI Tuesday makes you think, like, oh yeah, it's about time travel, encountering challenges? It's like, oh, well, I feel like it's about partying on a Tuesday, if you ask me.
Yeah, either that or it's just like a restaurant named Tuesdays.
Yeah, but even then, where's the restaurant in this explanation? Like, what?
Have you ever eaten at a TGI Fridays?
I went there twice. I went there after, I think, my junior prom, and then I went there in Texas before a football game.
I've only been there once.
Yeah, it's good. It's never somewhere that I would, think to go, I would usually go to, Red Robin or Chili's first.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of food, you are hungry and I have to pee. So
yeah,
we're going to close off this episode. That's our show for today, TGI Tuesday. Again, if you want to see the deleted scenes from this episode, that is on our Twitter, which is at ExcellentPod. And you could also see pictures from my Florida trip. And remember, if you want to hear about Jamaica, because I know you guys are all dying to hear what I've been up to, the next episode will be my Jamaica trip. So excited for you guys to hear, because just a little sneak peek. I stayed at an all-inclusive resort that had unlimited food and drinks all for free.
Ooh, baby, that sounds good.
Yeah, right on the beach. But you're going to have to stay tuned until the next episode to find it. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you guys in the next episode. Now get back to work, or you're fired.